views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am so glad that you have decided to join us today. Today is going to be a show like no other, although I probably said that before, but, you know, this one's going to be a little bit different. I have to say that sometimes unusual things happen in some really mysterious and odd ways. So let me give you a little bit of background as you start to listen to this show. I have three guests with me. One of whom is a young man who just told his parents that they steal the oxygen from the room, and it might be hard for him to get a word in edgewise, but it's going to be a fun show. But let me go backwards just a little bit. Probably a couple of years ago, Rick, I'm going to say maybe two or so, I get this call from a fella who says, "I got a copy of your book. And I had the opportunity to read it, and my wife and I," his name is Rick Curran, his wife is Tanya Curran, "my wife and I have read this book, and we would love to have you on our TV show down in Atlanta." Now, for a guy like me, when somebody calls and says, "We want you on a TV show in Atlanta," you say, "How quickly do we do that?" I mean, it was kind of cool to hear that, and I think, if I'm correct, somebody gave you a copy of that book. So, A, as we start this, you never know when you put something out into the universe where it's going to go. Where is God going to take the message that you have, and whose hands will it get into? I didn't know when I wrote the book that that would introduce me to this wonderful family, but it did. And so, long story short, Pierce, I suck the oxygen out of the air at times. Oh, Rick says I do it professionally, and the family hasn't got it started yet. Yeah, y'all are going to have a fun time on this. Is going to be a great show. But I had the opportunity to go down with Rick and Tanya and do the show down in Atlanta, which was absolutely awesome. And they are wonderful, wonderful hosts and interviewers. And that began the process of developing a very interesting relationship and finding out about. The walk that they had. And so this show that we're doing now here on Straight Talk Radio is about how you create something from nothing. And it is a show of hope. It's a show of inspiration. It's a show that's really designed to help those people who might be struggling a bit with personal issues that they find in life. You've been laid off. Things aren't going exactly the direction you want them to go. You find yourself wanting, in need, or without, and how you can go from, well, again, nothing to literally an international TV show that is just astounding and quite unique. So let me introduce my guests, and I'm going to start youngest first. Although you can't see this because it's radio, but to my right is Pierce Curran. Pierce, give us a little information about yourself and what's your age.
I am 13 years old, and I am a junior herpetologist. I've been working with reptiles for over 2 years now, and we're going on season two of Scaly Adventures.
Now, that is the coolest thing. I have to tell you, Rick and Tanya one evening said, "Well, you know, why don't you come up for dinner, and we'll talk about various and sundry things." And I go up to their house, and here is a house that is quite beautiful up in the mountains of South Carolina, filled with reptiles. like lots of snakes and so forth. And for those of you that might have a little, you know, get kind of wigged out about it, remember this is radio. Nothing can hurt you.
We don't have any with us today.
Right. And there are no snakes physically here as this show is being done. Shucks. Actually, I'm saying thank you, Lord, because I'm not exactly Mr. Snake Guy. But Pierce is really cool and has a passion for reptiles, and you're going to find out more about that as we proceed in the show. Straight across from me is his mom, Tanya. Tanya, say hello.
Hi, guys. I'm Tanya Kern. I'm Pierce's mom. That's my favorite title. Most proud of that. And Rick's wife. And I was a kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher. So that was what I did before, and I've homeschooled Pierce's whole life. Love it.
Very cool. And to my left on the show, of course, on radio, you can't see it, is Rick. And Rick Curran initially reached out to me with the television show that he and Tanya host and continue to do. But life has given Rick some interesting twists and turns. Rick, say hello to the audience.
Hey, guys. And by the way, the thing that you don't get to pick up because this is radio is the fact that my wife is smoking hot. So you'll have to check her out on our website to see this. But she is smoking hot, so.
And I have to agree. I mean, you know, look, I'm just saying.
You guys are
awesome. The cool part about it is I didn't start that way, so people won't quite look at me as taking advantage of a wonderful situation. Right, there you go. So you'll have to check this out. So, as we sit here, I think and get started, and it's a fun beginning, but Rick, I want to go to you to begin with and give us a little background about what was involved with the TV show in Atlanta, but also you had a work experience that put you into kind of a different place and a calling that brought you into a level of ministry that I think people need to hear about. And don't necessarily assume ministry means, you know, Jimmy Swaggart and, you know, Jim and Tammy Baker and those folks. But something that I think people who listen to the show will want to connect with because it makes so much sense.
Well, yeah. You know, first off, it was interesting because the other day we were talking about what is real ministry. And there's so many people out there who do salvation, if you will, and do salvation messages. In fact, I think the world is so full of people like that that there's an opportunity for people to do other types of ministry. Because we kiddingly used to say, there are people who bring you to Jesus, and then there are people who save you from running, screaming away from him. And really, the cool thing about what we do, if you'll put it in the terms of a ministry, is we think of ourselves as a ministry of encouragement because we believe that there's such a powerful message in just getting people's minds off of the everyday things that confront them. And so that's our ministry, is really just encouraging people and empowering them and helping them to understand that there's really nothing that can hold them back. My own personal story is really a testimony of that. I got out of the Army, and I did what any young guy would do my age. Everybody said, oh, you should go into this career because it pays well, and you'll always have a job. Well, those are both lies. it did pay well, but I didn't have a great job in the sense that it was very demanding. Took me away from my family for a lot of the time. I was in medical device sales. And I made great money on my best years. I made over $200,000 a year, had a company car, laptop, cell phone, all of the quote-unquote golden handcuffs that would seem to be the things that you'd want in life. But deep down inside of me, I was actually suicidal. I mean, I really did not like doing what I did. And so along comes 2009, and I was actually sales rep of the year, and I got laid off from this $200,000 a year job. Well, a couple of years prior to that, Tanya and I had felt a calling to do something in ministry, had no idea what it was. And so when I got laid off, the company was gracious. They gave me a small severance. They said, hell, we'll help you, you know, get placement and everything else. And I said, you know, Tanya, I really feel like this is the time for us to just move forward if you agree with me. And she said, yeah, I do. So that's exactly what we did. And we just went forward with an organization called Boundless Limits. And out of that has birthed so many wonderful opportunities. But as I sit here now, had you asked Rick Curran 7 years ago, what would you be doing? This is the last thing I thought I would be doing in my life.
You know, it's interesting. 2008, 2009, and if you're Listening on the radio, you might hear some extraneous sounds because we happen to be at a beautiful outside cafe. And as I said, this is a pre-recorded show, so it's live with us here. But as you hear this this coming Monday, you might hear some unusual sounds. But, Rick, 2009 really gave, how do I put this? It gave a lot of us opportunities to take pause in a very painful way. It's kind of like as a kid, I remember the little merry-go-rounds that, you know, you had, and you'd put kids on there, and then some of us would run around, and we'd push, and you hope the centrifugal force would throw people off and then laugh. But you were laughing at their pain.
Oh, of course.
And so a lot of us then experienced in 08, 09, 2010, and beyond, some very painful periods of time that caused us to have to look inward and reevaluate where we are. And Tanya, let me go to you, because let's stick with 2009 for a second. When Rick got laid off, and I'm assuming everything that you've said, you know, I've got a $200,000 a year job, I was a sales guy of the year, I had the car, the phone, et cetera, et cetera. And then your husband comes in one day and says, well, you know, gee, the worst has happened, I've been laid off. What did you experience? What was happening within you at that time?
Right. I mean, you have to understand that I know this man. He is my best friend. So I watched him bring home great money, but a huge part of his life was unfulfilled. And he felt like he had purpose and passion with our marriage and with our child, but he was not living a life of purpose and passion, and he was not fulfilled. So I knew that this was going on as well. And when he turned to me in 2007 and said, I feel called, I'll be honest with you, my first thing was I said, I hope not to be a pastor, because I'm not nice enough to be a pastor's wife. And I'm not.
Okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody, if you didn't hear that, everybody. I mean, it was like around the table. She's not. Pierce.
I know. No. Listen, I'm not in denial. I just don't have that level of long-term compassion for people who won't listen and take advice. So I don't. And you have to have that. So I said, listen, I'm down with like going into ministry of some sort. I just can't be a pastor's wife. So it took God a couple of years of working on his heart and for us to figure out what that was. So in 2009, when he was laid off, honestly, I'll tell you exactly when he called me. And actually, he got the call from his manager. He said, cool. And when he said, I don't have a job for you anymore, but he kept driving, because I remember you called and you said, I don't exactly know where I'm at. And I said, come home. And we packed a picnic and we went to the park. My most important thing was, we're going to stop. We are not going to panic. We're going to go have a family moment. And we're going to talk about this and we're going to pray. And you know what? We said we can do this. And so we downsized. I mean, I do everything. I color my hair, do my own nails. Like, we cut out everything. Eating out. So we reduced as much of our output. And then we said, okay, so he started working for the company, went from full-time to just doing per diem or as needed, which was a huge, huge loss. So that was an interesting part of it, too. When God called us into ministry, he didn't send us a $1 million donor, and he did not make it easy. Like, Rick still had to piece this together. And I said to Rick, I think we'll make it 1 year, and now we're going on five. So for me, I'm so committed to this family. Like, we're all in no matter what we have to do. It was more about, I would rather my husband live a life of passion and purpose and be happy and us create things of value with our son than worry about the paycheck that he's bringing home.
Now, I have to ask this question, and I'm shifting gears, but that was 5 years ago,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
Pierce, you were 8.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the question to the 13-year-old thinking back on 8, and I'm not sure I can remember much of what happened when I was 8, but for you, it's not been that long ago. What changed in the family that you recall? Was there anything?
Well, for one, I saw my dad a lot more. He used to be on the road a lot, and so for that, I thought, at the time, I wasn't really into all this stuff, but my parents have always been very open to not keeping secrets from me, and letting me know everything. So, but at the time, I was so naive, I didn't really understand what it all meant, and so I just thought, hey, I'm getting my dad home more often, and now that I realize, you know, they were struggling so hard to take away all this stuff so that they could provide while not making me change all that much, without making me have to sell my stuff or downsize. They made sure to sacrifice their stuff so that I could continue to live the life that I had.
Now, you know, as I hear that, I'm like, okay, wow. I'm hearing a 13-year-old sharing some information that is absolutely incredible. And Pierce, I'm not sure that on this show I will interview many 13-year-olds or that will be that articulate. So kudos to you, dude. was articulate. You know, here we are. We're wrapping up our first segment, and I don't think there was a better way to wrap that up. We're on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher. We're talking with Pierce, Tanya, and Rick Curran of Scaly Adventures. And we'll talk a little bit more about from 2009, where things have gone and what's taken place, because the story is incredible. Stick with us. We'll be back after this break. Well, we're back. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. And, you know, we've had a very interesting first segment. And we ended, Pierce, with something that, although people on radio can't see, brought your mom to tears. And it was just absolutely a priceless thing. We're with Rick, Tanya, and Pierce Curran of Scaly Adventures and Boundless Limits. But, Rick, when we were on break, you started something, and I hushed you up because we were talking a little bit about the experience you had the night before you were laid off. And this was back in 2009, and I think that provides a great segue into the experience that you were having, but now will carry us in this next segment to where you can be. So tell us a little about that.
Well, what I was saying was that basically we had actually felt a calling to come into some sort of ministry as early as 2006 or 2007. I can't pin it down exactly, but it was like I felt this epiphany. Wow, I really feel a calling to do something, and then that was it. I told Tanya, and then it was like right back to life as normal. And then we start a little bit of doing stuff with, you know, she gets an opportunity to speaking engagement, talking about her testimony. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I felt the calling into ministry, but you're having her do stuff. So, you know, throughout the span of the next 2 years, we're building this organization that we call Boundless Limits. But I'm still working full-time as a sales rep. And it starts to interfere a little bit with my career, and to the point where literally my manager is like, listen, you know, what are you doing? You know, if you want to be a missionary, go be a missionary. But, you know, you work for us. This is full time. So I remember it finally came to a head in 2009 where I'm sitting at the table and I'm designing this website because I have to teach myself how to do all the tech stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff. We're working nights, weekends. And she was going to do a women's conference, which was our second independent one that we had produced. And I'm sitting there at the table for 14 hours doing this thing. And I finally, Pierce comes to me. He's like, hey, Dad, can you spend a few minutes with me? Can you spend a couple minutes? And I'm like, no, son, I'm building this website. And I got to get it done tonight. And I was like, wow, this is not what I had in mind when I felt this calling into ministry. I said, I'm done. I closed the lid on my computer, and I remember just sort of yelling at the ceiling. I said, God, this is it. I'm done. I don't know if it was a cheeseburger or what had happened to me that day that made me think I heard from you, but if I didn't hear from you, then take this desire away from me. But until you tell me exactly what it is you want me to do, I'm stopping. I'm stopping everything, and I'm going to go do the last thing you told me to do, which was to be a medical device salesman. And until you make it perfectly clear to me that this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go be a husband, a father, and a salesman. And that was it. I slammed the lid on my computer, and I walked away. The next morning at 9 a.m., I got a phone call from a manager, and he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't have a job for you next year. And that's when Tanya was saying, I said, cool. And he said, I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood what you said. You're the only person of the four people I've called today who said cool when I laid you off. And I said, yeah, John, but I'm probably also the only guy who asked God last night, what do you want me to do with my life? And it's sometimes it takes God just literally reaching into your life and going, okay, here you go. Because who would quit a $200,000 a year job in a recession? Nobody. So I literally tell people, I got drop kicked into ministry.
Well, you also, I guess this goes back to the statement, you got to be careful what you ask for.
I was going to say that. Be careful what you pray for. Yes, be careful what you pray for. Be very specific. So now when I'm like, okay, when we pray, let's make sure we lay everything on the table and say it right.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like with my wife and I will say things in jest, and she says, you better be careful. And I'm like, okay, look, God understands I'm a comedian, so he understands there's a little leeway on my side. On the other hand, when she says something, stuff happens, and it's like, darling, she said one time, it has been a while back, I mean, now a decade or so, but she said, you know, I'm just not really sure I like this car anymore. Literally left and totaled the car.
Seriously?
And I'm like, darling, you have to be very, very careful.
So clearly, you need to be careful.
I love my my house. I love my car. I love everything then.
Okay.
It really wasn't being flippant. It was literally I had reached a point of frustration that I think that, you know, we go to church and we read the Bible and we know that from the scriptures and everything that we hear that God has a plan for us. Sometimes I think the hardest thing is to wait because God's our time is finite. God's is infinite. And it's so frustrating. And for me, it was literally saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do. But now looking back, I realized I did not have that courage to take that first step. And so that was actually God making that happen because, like I said, who'd quit that kind of a job and go out and do this? But to my wife's credit, here's the cool thing about it. We were living on about $10,000 a month. And this woman and I have cut back so significantly that I'm here to tell you, a family that lived on 10 grand a month can do it on less than four. It's very possible if you want a dream. You just have to ask yourself, how bad do you want it?
And I want to say this too, Chuck, and I hope that this encourages your listeners, because, you know, we did not know how to design a website. We did not know how to do any of this stuff. And, of course, we didn't know how to make a TV show. I mean, his background was sales. I was a teacher. And here we are homeschooling our son. But he started reading all of these books. I mean, you know, books from here, you could stack them to the ceiling, because we knew we could not afford a website, you know, to pay someone to do it. So he had to teach himself how to do it. So he has laid out our book. And that was the thing. We had not authored a book before. And so now we've authored something together, our book and our study guide. In fact, I was speaking at a women's shelter sharing my story, because in 2004, I was in a coma, an eight-day coma for 8 days, and was given 2 hours to live. And then after God saved my life, and every doctor I went to over the next 3 years gave me prescription after prescription. So by 2007, I was addicted to 18 prescriptions a day, and I was ready to kill myself. So that's another part of our story, like another layer, because we didn't even know if God was going to use that just to be a cool story. And he used that as I recorded my audio testimony in my closet on a borrowed laptop with free equipment to edit. And so we have that. That was kind of what launched us into ministry. But I went and spoke at a women's shelter for a year to get that experience sharing my story. And at the end of it, I came to Rick and said, I've got an idea to make a Proverbs devotion guide. And I said, I think we should launch it next month. And so Rick had to teach himself how to put together a book in a month. And I just say all that to say, no matter what it is, you can do it. You really can do it. You can do it with hardly any money. If you're willing to work and teach yourself, there's so many resources out there now that you can watch YouTube videos and lynda.com and all these books that you can read. You know, it's a very inspiring way to live when you look at things you can do.
To your credit, too, when we first started, I had been in sales, and I knew how to speak in front of groups and that. You were a kindergarten teacher, so you knew how to speak to small audiences of young children, but speaking motivationally was something different, and you're like, I'm just not comfortable with how I speak. And I said, you know, why don't you go down to the women's shelter? They're always looking for people who are willing to speak. And the first night she went, she had printed out this devotion. The devotion time was 30 minutes. She landed the plane in 15 minutes. She came home just crestfallen. I can't believe it. And I said, that's all right. You're gonna dust yourself off. You're going to go back down there, and you're going to knock it out of the park. And a year later, she put on a two-day women's conference in a homeless shelter for these women. And so to watch somebody grow by immersing herself in one of the most uncomfortable environments possible. And the reason I say that is because many nights she would go there and speak to these women who were coming off of drugs, who were in horrible situations. They would literally fall asleep while Tanya was speaking. So she learned to get a real thick skin on her, and she learned how to become a professional speaker, not by some power course, not by some online videos, but by serving God in a community location. And he grew these skills in her to where now she's one of the most polished people on TV, in my opinion.
And I think what's cool, again, if you have children, to just look at how you can show your children this. I am so proud that we are giving Pierce these skills, you know, that he has seen us value a penny and what to do with a dollar. I mean, when you think, I know we're skipping ahead, but with our television show, Scaly Adventures, we filmed season one on $5,000. That's crazy. That's 14 episodes on $5,000 alone. And we actually filmed an episode down in Florida, and the Professional Tarpon Tournament series was there filming with the Outdoor Channel, and they were blown away. They said that is unheard of. A low budget, something should be $20,000 an episode. And we said we did 14 on 5. So it proves what God can do and what you can do with a lot of work.
Now, as you've heard this, the thing I think that's really fascinating for the listeners, especially on Straight Talk Radio, is a couple of things. As we get ready to go into the next break. Well, number one, Rick, most people don't have the guts to just jump off the merry-go-round and follow their dream. Right. So most don't. That's not normal. And probably what is more normal is having a dream and having a desire and having something that burns a passion in your heart that's part of the DNA of who you are and what you bring to this world, but recognizing that if you don't let go, you'll be let go. And I don't mean necessarily that just from a job perspective, but from the perspective of if and we hear the beeping in the background because we have the little...
Turkey's done.
Yeah, I like that. Turkey's done, or we have the little man in the car. But the one thing that I do think is when you sit there and you look at it, it isn't always about the job, but if there is something that is a part of who you are, that is part of what you bring to this world, why you are here, if you're unwilling to easily follow the path, you will find yourself on the path. Yeah. Sometimes it's not comfortable.
Right.
Now, Tanya, you were talking about the show, Scaly Adventures, mm-hmm. and I know to people who've been listening to the show up to this point for the first half, we've talked about it, we've talked a little bit in the periphery about your television show, but when we get back from the break, what I'd really like to do is talk with the three of you about... Okay, so all of a sudden your son has a passion which mom and dad are willing to be okay with. That's unusual. You know, snakes in a house, kind of like snakes on a plane. I mean, it's not the normal, okay? So we probably need to talk about that just a little bit. And then how this idea blossomed in a unique way, because Tanya, now I'm going to say this, and if I'm wrong, correct me, but it isn't the primary focus of your family is your speaking. And Rick, the primary focus isn't Boundless Limits, but the family has come together behind the primary focus of your son. So when we get back from break, we're going to visit with Pierce and family on Scaly Adventures and talk about how an interesting idea can turn into something that is absolutely magical. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're Straight Talk Radio. I'm Chuck Gallagher, and this has been such a fun interview. I think the thing that, for those of you that are listening for the first time, we're talking with Rick, Tanya, and Pierce Curran. This is pre-recorded. We happen to be outside at a cafe, so occasionally you might hear the Harley-Davidson motorcycle drive by or the car with the little beep, beep, beep background sounds. But the interview is really interesting, and we've talked up to this point about what took you to now literally an international television show. And I want to say this as we begin this. For those of you that are listening, I can kind of hear it. It's a little bit weird, but some people are like, well, you know, yeah, Chuck, you interview people who found this success, but it's never going to happen to me, and you don't really understand, and I've been laid off, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and we don't have the income, and it's like, okay, and I have to say it, get off the wambulance. You know, there is no value to self-pity. Things happen in our lives. Everything happens for a reason. The question becomes evaluating what's happened and what can I do next. And I'm talking with a family that's had an amazing transformational experience, literally into an international television show that has come from the dreams of a child. Now, so as we start this, Pierce, you're 13 now, but somewhere along the line, you got interested in snakes. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I went through a couple of different phases. I started off in geology, then I got into dinosaurs, and then snakes. So I've always kind of stayed in the area of really cool, unnatural things. And so my dad found a small red-bellied brown snake in the yard one day, and I got to keep it, and this thing was no bigger than a pencil. And not even a full pencil. It was like a sharp, already been sharpened pencil. It was small. And so I kept that thing for about a year, which the max expectancy is only about 2. So it was pretty good for me to keep it that long. Then we just started collecting a few more. Then we did one small little birthday because somebody was willing to pay. And originally I was just like, hey, I'll do a couple of these just to get some extra video game money. And then it just really took off from there. We went to a reptile show, And we just thought we could do better, way better than it. And now I think we have. It's just been a lot of fun just teaching people about reptiles.
Okay, now, but before we go to the parents, because you said when we first started, they will suck the oxygen out of the air. I'll never get any talk time. So you said, I got to say this. So I'm sitting there just blown away. Well, I was interested in geology. I'm sitting there thinking about my two sons when they were 8 years old, and I don't think any of them would have said, I was interested in geology. Now, one of them would have said I was interested in video games and wanted to be a video game designer, and now he's just a hippie, which nothing wrong with that. He's a good hippie. But, you know, it's a different experience. So when you first found the snake, you said, Dad, let me keep it. Mom didn't make you kill it. I'm surprised. Tell me, how did that work in the family?
Well, my mom's always been really supportive of anything I do. I mean, before that, I had caught toads and stuff. I've always been just, I got to catch it. And I see something literally now, and I could be having a conversation with somebody. I'll literally just go into, like, an autopilot mode. I will see something, and I will go after it. There's no stopping me. So she's always just really been like, go for it. I mean, she's never really been worried about me getting hurt. I mean, I could pretty much almost climb before I could walk. I mean, I climb trees and stuff. So she's never really kept me back from anything. If I want to do it, she just is like, go for it.
And you have no fear when you see the snake or whatever it is going to catch it? I mean, does it ever cross your mind, that sucker might bite me because it doesn't want to be caught and that could cause me bodily harm?
It's just an autopilot mode. My brain literally does not think. I see a snake and I just have to grab it. I know if it's a venomous, I'll go grab a hook, but otherwise, biting to me, it's just part of the job. It's an occupational hazard. It doesn't bother me.
Okay, so I'm sitting back thinking, yeah, okay, at 57, I don't have that, I'm going to call it that lizard brain instinct to go grab a snake.
Right.
Or to know the difference between venomous and non-venomous, all I know is they have a mouth, the tongue sticks out, and it is not natural for me to want to grab that little puppy. Now, what is natural for me is grab a hoe, which I know really causes great consternation, and I am so sorry.
It's okay. Come back, Pierce. Come back.
At my mother's house, I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and she moved down here, and she has a big creek behind the house, yeah. And they found, I don't know, 8 snakes one day, and I'm sitting there. They're worried about how do we get rid of the snakes, and I'm thinking, call Pierce. Now, I know that's not what you do, but I could imagine you would have a real blast.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun, yeah. I mean, the great thing is the farther up you go, the less you're going to worry about, like, water snakes and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, just give me a call if you need help.
Now, I got to jump in. We filmed on the Waccamaw River with some of the guys from the Edisto Serpentarium, and the guy who took us out runs the Serpentarium, and he had actually taken out the National Geographic guys a couple of years before. And the goal was to barehanded catch water snakes out of trees. And I got to brag on Pierce because in that day, the 2 days that we filmed, Pierce beat that guy. Number one, Pierce refused to wear gloves. He said, I can't wear gloves. They get in the way. And the kid caught like 10 times more snakes out of the trees than the National Geographic guys did. It's something that comes naturally to him. Some kids sit down and, you know, they start playing a guitar and they end up being Eddie Van Halen. Some people grow up and they're ballet dancers and they end up being, you know, prima ballerinas. Pierce, from a very early age, there's nothing that hops, crawls, or walks that he's not interested in learning more about. And what is cool about it is it's not that he just catches it, sticks it in a jar. He's passionate about the conservation because it ties back into our faith. We've taught Pierce from a very early age that God put us to be stewards over the earth. And to be part of that is to help educate other people. Why is, okay, you know, yes, there are times when you're going to dispatch a snake in your yard. We get that. But why is a snake in your yard? Well, is it there because it's a part of God's plan to control the ecosystem? Because I'd rather have a snake in my yard that carries maybe one or two diseases than a rat, which carries about 450 different diseases.
I would like to say this, too, especially if you're a mother listening and you're thinking, okay, I must be crazy right now to have let my child do all of this. You know, you have to let your children follow their dreams and do what they were created to do. And even though Pierce is our child, I look at Pierce like, you know, on loan from God. I kind of look like us as the ultimate babysitters in a way. So, yes, I have strict boundaries and rules and in our home and all those things, and I want him to be safe. But Pierce, I knew I can look at him and I can see all of these things inside of him, and I don't want to hold him back. And so that's why I foster these dreams in our home, and that's why we have now almost 40 snakes in our house. And
okay, now for the folks listening to the show, before people are listening and thinking, this is just weird, let's go back to where we started, because the interesting thing is so here we have a family. You quit your job to homeschool, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so Tanya quit her job to homeschool Pierce. You were laid off, but you had a dream. You weren't sure where that was going. And now some 5 years later, in 2014, all of that has kind of come together in an interesting and unique way. So let's go back to the early stages of Scaly Adventures, and let's talk a little bit about how as parents did this whole thing kind of come together? Because it took a family to be able to make this work. One person's passion and lack of fear, organization, salesmanship, and the vision to put it all together. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It truly is a melding of all of our talents and all of our work together. It is a team effort, 100%, and a collaboration. So what happened was, literally, on our homeschool email loop, I saw that someone was having a backyard birthday party, and they wanted some teenagers to maybe bring some snakes or reptiles, because that's what their child was interested in. And so I just shot him an email. I think Pierce was 10, because I said he's not even a teenager. And we only had like 4 or 5. And I said, are you interested in that? And that's when, you know, he got paid. Yeah, just little simple snakes. And so we got paid $25 for going in this little backyard. And that's when he said, okay, this is really cool. I can make some video game money, like he was saying. Then you fast forward to 2012. So they were getting more snakes, going to reptile shows. They went to see a veterinarian talk about summer snake safety and how to keep your animals safe with snakes in your yard. And Pierce turned to Rick at the veterinarian's office and said, we can do better than this. And interestingly, that week, when Rick came home, he had no cases to cover, so no income was coming in. And I say that because if you will look at your time and those lulls, and you will create during the lulls, just watch out what God can do with it. Watch how that can explode, because that's when he went downstairs and said, let's have some fun. And he created scalyadventures.com. And he said, this will just be for fun. Then they went to the zoo, paid to get in, because he said, you're going to need some educational little fun videos on there. And they went and he stood in front of the cages, no behind-the-scenes access, nothing. And they filmed little short 2- and 3-minute video clips in front of the zoo about some animals that Pierce thought was cool. And we put them on the Scaly Adventures website. So all this time, we're driving to Atlanta. So we live near Greenville, South Carolina also. We're driving down and sacrificing, you know, time twice a month to host Atlanta Live, which we love. But it was a sacrifice because he was losing 2 days a month, from any kind of work he could do. And became friends with the traffic manager and producers down there, and he saw them, and he was our friend, so he knew about Pierce's passion. But he said, these will fit perfectly in my children's spot for EI, the educational and informative television. And we're like, great. And we didn't even time them a certain time, nothing. And so he started airing those as commercial spots in the children's block. And then in late October or so, 2012, he said, have y'all ever thought about filming a pilot, maybe taking this to the next level and doing a TV show? We're like, no. Again, we have no idea how to do that. And he said, you know what? The NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, is coming up in March of 2013 in Nashville. It's a big thing. A lot of TV stations come there, networks. You should take that idea. And that is literally how this is now morphing. So we had one camera, which we nicknamed the beer can. And, you know, if it's in your hand, it looks just like a black beer can.
In fact, Walmart, I mean, literally.
You've got to stop saying, get me the beer can when we're on set, because everybody always looks at us like, you can't drink now. It's like 9 a.m.
So
anyway, Rick's like, all we have is the beer can. And so we filmed Pierce in a swamp on this one camera from one angle. Rick edited, no music. And it wasn't even the right length for like a sample demo. We made 40 copies, took it to the NRB in March of 2013, gave it out to anyone and everyone who would listen. And came home, and within the next 2 weeks, heard nothing. So it was like crickets. And it was like, well, whoop, there it wasn't. Like, thanks a lot, God. Like, cool, but for nothing. And then 2 weeks later, I got an email from Russia. And the CNN network said, we want to pay to translate this into Russian and Ukrainian languages, sign a contract with you for the next 3 years. We're not going to compensate you, but we won't charge you for airtime. And we were just like, oh, my gosh. And then it has snowballed from there. Network after network has continued to pick it up. Daystar is our biggest one. They air on 6 of 7 continents every week. And they are airing our show. And they've been airing season 1 in reruns since last year. And they're going to air season 2 starting in the fall of 2014. But that's when the fun began, because then we got, like, acceptance. So we had international distribution before we had a product. And we were like, okay, that's a miracle anyway, because they have no idea what we're going to produce. And I looked at Rick like, what are we going to produce? What are we going to do? And so that's when we create the episodes. We decide where to film, who to film, how to feature. We make it up as we go, so we call it, like, unscripted reality. We get on set, and we ask Pierce, like, what do you think about this? And we're kind of all just saying, what do you think about this and this? And then we come home, we do our director's chair spots, you know, in our front yard. Rick edits everything. He taught himself how to do it all. We partnered with a band called Bone Prophet. They're amazing guys that we had interviewed one time out of Atlanta Live. Called Eddie. I said, Eddie, I've met you one time. This is Tanya Curran. Listen, we have an opportunity to create a children's show that's going to go internationally. But I need music. I need a music video. I'm going to need clips. But I can't pay you a dime. And he said, I'm in. It didn't take him a second. He said, if we can reach children around the world with this positive message, I'm in. And we've shot a music video with them, and they've given us all of this exclusive music. It's been a powerful collaboration.
Well, okay. That is an incredible story, and we're running up against a break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. We're going to come back in our last segment, and we're going to talk more about how this whole process has unfolded, because I think it's fascinating to see Pierce, who has a passion, and you guys, mom and dad, who are sitting there saying, well, you know, number one, I'm not going to hold my child back, and I'm comfortable with the passion, but realizing that the ministry, which is the term you use, reaches out literally across the globe to talk to young people and to do it in a positive way. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and we get back in the next segment. We're going to talk about more of the logistics of what took place, how it took place, and how those transformations can take place in your life. Stick with us. So here we are in the last segment of Straight Talk Radio with Chuck Gallagher. My guests are Rick, Tanya, and Pierce Curran of Scaly Adventures, and it's scalyadventures.com, right? So you all need to go to the website, okay? You get to see the family. You get to see information about this. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, that's just the weirdest thing, go there and see how an idea and a passion can turn into reality. Because that same spark, that same idea that exists in your life can become passion and reality. Now, we were at break, and Rick started on a conversation, which typically happens at break. And Rick, I want you to kind of go back to that, because I think that brings us back into where we are.
Sure. Well, you know, in the last segment, one of the things that I just kept thinking about that really resonates in our lives, we operate off the premise that none of the gifts that God give you are for you. They're for somebody else. And it's truly only that you blossom as a human being when you share them with the world. Pierce absolutely loves snakes. And I have watched this kid educate people from 2 years old to almost 100 years old on snakes and how to do it. But it's his gift and love for snakes. But it's in his sharing it that it blossoms. And the same thing comes from everything we do. So if you're sitting at home and you're going, you know, I love doing this or I love doing that, chances are God put that in you. But the only way you're really going to experience it is when you give it away. And there's not been one part of this entire process, this building upon building upon building, that hasn't sculpted the show. I look at everything we've done. Tanya and I were hosting Christian television two nights a week for free, or I'm sorry, twice a month for free. But we would make the sacrifice, like Tanya said, of driving down to Atlanta, sitting on the couch, interviewing people, and then driving home, getting home at midnight so I could get up the next morning at 5:30 to go to a surgical case. But in that, I learned how to read Tanya when we were sitting on a couch. I'd know exactly when she was going to finish her sentences, exactly what she was going to say, and the same was true of me. The other day, for example, I said to Pierce, we need to film a one-minute commercial spot for Scaly Adventures. We didn't have a timer on us. We said, just go for it, see what you get. The kid nailed it at 59 seconds exactly. And the reason is because all the experiences that we have experienced going through building the show and even the things before the show have given us the skill set to be so much more effective at what we do. And so if you're in a place in life where you don't understand why God has you doing what you're doing, whether it's being in sales or mopping floors, someday you'll look back on another point in your life, if you're following God's path, and you'll say, that's why he had me doing it.
Yeah, and I want to say this too. Rick and I want to thank you, Chuck. We truly want to thank you for your friendship and your speaking of positive encouragement into our life. You were very encouraging to us in a place where it was kind of at a lull, because it sounds, the story, especially if you're just kind of getting in a little capsule, it just sounds like so much, it just rocketed. And it has been fast if you look at a time frame. But when you're going from the day to day and you create and create and create and you give and give and give and you're not getting compensated for it, you go through these lulls. And we remember you coming into our house and you saw that poster of Pierce and you were just like, this is amazing. This is incredible. And we needed that spark. So thank you. First of all, we want to say thank you to that. And we also want to encourage the listeners that find a Chuck in your life. Find somebody who will speak positive into your life and encourage you to keep going. And even if something isn't popping yet, you know, it's not paying you financially, look at all the other great things that are coming. Because like you just said, Rick, we read each other so well now. Pierce is learning invaluable skills because we've done all this without a teleprompter. We've done it without a budget. He's learning and learning and learning. So just let that build on each other.
You know, I sit back and I have to say, when I was visiting with you in the house and I saw the poster and I was, I thought about, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name and now it completely slips me, when you're 57, stuff just goes in your head.
And it happens now when I'm 40.
Well, you know, God bless you. Because now it happens so often and I'm like, really, you know, just give me a little more memory there. But, the crocodile guy,
Steve Irwin,
you know, I'm seeing a young Steve Irwin. So go to scalyadventures.com and see Pierce and look at it, because what you see is someone who has a passion, who starts so young, and at some point in time, dude, you're going to be an international star. I mean, people will be rocking.
An amazing fact about Pierce, he is currently on record the youngest animal ambassador in the world with his own internationally distributed TV show. There is no one else in this world right now at 13 years old who can be seen on 6 of 7 continents holding animals and educating the public.
And I'm sitting here as Dad is saying that, looking at Pierce, and I don't know if it's just growth and age, but I think his head got 2 inches bigger.
Oh, you should have that. I didn't even know that.
It is absolutely true. And really, it's cool to see. Because if there's one thing that any parent wants, it's you want your child to grow up and be a contribution to the world, to the society. Your goal is not that he grows up and becomes an axe murderer, but rather that he actually becomes somebody that contributes to his generation and generations beyond. And it doesn't have to be curing cancer. It doesn't have to be coming up with the first engine that runs on water. It can be something that inspires people to reach for a dream or do something that God has put in them, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how many other people in the world are doing it. If you're doing it and you know God put it in your heart, then you owe it to yourself and you owe it to God to pursue that.
And I would love to say this. This show isn't just about snakes. So if snakes freak you out, reptiles freak you out, please just tune in, because we have all kinds of animals, parrots.
Amphibians, too.
And we've got turtles and parrots and monkeys and all kinds of cool animals. But this show truly, truly is this. In every episode, the underlying message is we teach children to overcome their fears, do what they were created to do, and live a life of passion and purpose. And we show a functional, healthy family having fun. So even if your family doesn't look like ours and you live with your grandmother or you have a single parent, it doesn't matter. We're teaching you to have fun and create your own adventure. So that's the heart of our show.
You know, here on Straight Talk Radio, we talk with all kinds of people. We have some very interesting guests. You guys are, but I have to say, when you think about functioning in life with passion and purpose, probably that is, if there is a message that comes out of this particular show, this is an example of how that works. And I have to say this to you. You gave a thanks and a shout out to me, and I appreciate that. But I also have to say, on the flip side, I talk with a lot of people who live in the I world, the ego world.
Sure.
And here's a reality check. The reality is sometimes we're going to make some choices in life, and some of those choices can be wonderful and incredibly empowering, and some of them can be. And I've made the ego choices that took me, I won't say it took me nowhere. It just took me to federal prison, which is a little different path, you know.
Oh, yeah, a little.
Not the most exciting place in the world, but probably one of the best experiences that I've had, because it stripped that ego at least to the point of being able to find out what is it that I bring to the world. And I think you guys, Pierce knows, but he knew. Your commitment was to your family and to your son, so you stepped away because Rick had the income to be able to support the family. And you knew that you had a passion. You weren't sure how to get there. Until you ask, show me definitively, to which the next day you got the definitive answer. And from that point, then it became a living a life of faith with passion and purpose. And a lot of people could get on the Wambulance and while the days away, wondering what could have been because the box was removed. The comfort of income and car and cell phone and all of the trappings of what we'd think is success. Yet you guys are finding a unique level of success in a way that reaches out across the globe to touch people. And Tanya, when you say, you know, we show an example of how a family can interact healthily together with passion and purpose, if there is anything, I think that's probably it. I want to encourage the people who are listening to the show. We've got to wrap up. We're running out of time. But I want to encourage people to go to scalyadventures.com. I want you to go visit. Look at some of the things that are there. You'll get an opportunity to see Pierce with his passion. And I am sure doing things that you won't find Chuck doing often. Although I did hold a snake, I think, when I was there. And, it's like I'm kind of okay, although in my mind I'm wondering what happens if it poops or something and I'm not prepared for it. There's just something about that. All right, I hear that. But I'll say this. It's been a fascinating experience to talk with you, and I hope that the people who are listening to the show have an opportunity here on Straight Talk Radio to hear Straight Talk about how to follow your passion and purpose in life and make a difference. You guys have, and I want to say thank you very much for being on the show. Pierce, we're going to end it with you. Any last words you want to say?
Oh, dear. Well, for one, I just want to say that my parents have sacrificed everything for this, and they do it again and again if they had to. And TV show or no TV show, I will find a way to teach everybody about reptiles and animals. I don't need this to continue what I'm doing. Sure, it's a great way to get it across, but passion will go through anything. Media is just one outlet that I can use, and I will always find a way to continue to do what I love doing.
Folks, you heard it from his mouth, and that's what passion is really about. This is Chuck Gallagher on Straight Talk Radio. Join us again next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.